astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hello, baby.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hello again. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, friend.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, home.
Hi.
Yo.
G'day.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hackers Without Borders, the greatest podcast on the planet.
Guys, tune in. Great show. It's not just about football.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
There goes Mark from Portland, Oregon. Mac on the Pack podcast coming to you soon. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, good, man. Good. Appreciate you having me on. I've been looking forward to this. I'm very excited.
No problem at all, man. I'm excited, too. You know, of course, a McLaughlin on St. Patrick's Day. I mean, it doesn't get any... It's like I set this up purposely.
Right? That's awesome. Yeah. Couldn't have planned it any better. I'm actually Irish. My ancestors are Irish from County Cork. So, I mean, you planned it very well.
Perfect. I'm Irish as well. Actually, when they did that Ancestry and Me, they just sent me back a map and they circled all the whites. They said, that's
nice.
You. That's you. They're like, there's no even gray. It is just
right?
Pure. Yeah. So strange that there's nothing in the wood pile. Listen, handful of topics have just popped up. First thing I want to talk to you about is Justin Fields is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Who saw this coming?
He is. I surprised to see that notification yesterday. Kind of wonder what the Steelers might be up to, but you know, then I realized, you know, Russell Wilson's on a minimum contract. Doesn't hurt to bring in Fields as well. And if Russell's not the guy, then Justin can step right in and they're good to go.
Especially for a sixth round next year's draft pick. I mean,
right.
They basically got him for a dozen footballs.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then I guess it's a conditional fourth depending on appearances, but I mean, just call it a sixth round pick. It's a no-brainer if you're Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Bears, again, looking to grab that first round. I mean, it looks like it's going to be poor Caleb Williams. Williams is a Packer fan. He's going to be stuck getting his ass beat twice a year against the Packers. And again, we're going to take a brand new quarterback. We're going to throw him onto a team that, oh, yeah, he's got a couple of wide receivers, but he has no O-line. He's got major defense issues. He's got himself no run game, and he's got himself Eberflus, who has no idea how to draft and develop a quarterback. I don't see this panning out. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm usually wrong twice a day, and you know, it definitely happens. Justin Fields out in Pittsburgh. I am stunned. I am stunned. I thought for sure they would have drafted around him, traded that first round, that very first pick to maybe Washington for a boatload of picks, you know, and just really built that team around him and given him another chance. He had flashes, and the fact that he was a mobile quarterback. I mean, every time the Packers played the Bears, I always thought to myself, this is an easy win. But every now and then in those games, it was like, we got to do something about that Justin guy.
Exactly. Yeah, we haven't always had the best luck with defending quarterbacks that can move. So, I mean, he had that little bit of uh-oh, you know, when we played him. But, you know, ultimately, we still won all those games. So,
yeah, ultimately, we continue to own the Bears. Bears fans, of course, this is their whole season right now is this time frame. the offseason when everybody's 0-0 and they can convince themselves, most importantly, but the rest of the world, that they are the best in the NFC. I don't see the Bears coming out of third or fourth place. You know, I just don't see them taking that step unless Caleb Williams has that CJ Stroud season. I don't see any movement out of that team, any upward movement out of that team. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Again, it's the annual offseason. Bears hyping up their team time, so it doesn't shock me to see all that going on. Yeah, I mean, Caleb's a good talent. If that, he's the guy they're going to take, which they probably are going to take him. Great talent, but again, like you said, the O-line's a mess. Defense is a mess. Bringing Keenan Allen, but, you know, 32, might be 33 by the time the season starts. I'm not sure, but I just don't see them again, like you, being third or fourth in the division. I'd pick them third right now if I had to pick an order. You know, I'll go Packers, Lions, Bears, Vikings. I don't see any way they're above the Packers or the Lions when next season's all said and done. I just, no, it's not going to happen.
The release of Aaron Jones, this shocked myself, shocked many of us. And then for him to have the Vikings deal seemingly signed as he was being released, this seemed to be a foregone conclusion that us fans found out about afterwards. How do you feel about Aaron Jones going to the purple?
It always hurts, right? It always hurts to see a player go to, you know, the Vikings, the Bears. You don't see the Bears too often, you know, Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis, but it doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good. I love Jonesy. He was a great running back for us for, shoot, many years now. But it's never easy seeing your boys go to the rival. I was hoping he might go to the Texans, you know, before they ended up trading for Joe Mixon. Yeah. Even the Cowboys, you know, I hate the Cowboys. I'm not going to lie to you, but I'd rather see him down there back home in Texas than up the street in Minnesota than seeing him with that purple sombrero and the skull chant. Oh, man. That hurt to see.
That hurt. The skull chant, that's like watching your ex kiss her new boyfriend in front of you. You know what I mean? You're like,
it is.
It's like, you didn't have to do that. You didn't. We broke up. Nope. I get it. Speaking of breaking up, Devondre Campbell has lost his mind on Twitter today. He's decided to, you know, and I tweeted this out earlier. Whatever happened to players tipping their hat, saying, thank you, fans. Thank you, Green Bay. Thank you, Chicago. Thank you, whatever. And then moving along with some class and dignity. Now they say, well, I'm going to tell it like it is. And it's like, well, do we really need to be hearing it like it is? I mean, we all knew Joe Barry was the issue.
Yeah, no, and it's it seemed like he kind of did that before he came to Green Bay as well. You know, kind of it's not me. People don't use me correctly, which I get. You know, and you come in and you have an all-pro year in 2021. You know, and I saw some stuff today about he was tweeting back and forth with people saying, you know, I was making up for other people's mistakes, people not fitting the run like they were supposed to. And, you know, a lot of arguing with fans. And it's just, again, yeah, just say, hey, Green Bay, thanks very much. You kind of revamped my career, gave me that big deal. You know, best of luck to you. But that's just not how these guys do it these days.
You know, my grandfather or my grandmother used to tell me the best revenge is living well. If you really want to stick it to them, go to San Fran and have another all-pro year.
Right.
I mean, that right there would make us then second guess, okay, Barry's gone, but now does LaFleur have to go? Because Campbell's over there tearing it up. And what about Goot? Why didn't we keep him? You know, we'd start second guessing these guys. Instead, he's going to go blah, blah, blah. Listen, this wasn't happening. That we could see it, man. We could see it. We saw you have an all-pro year. We saw that you weren't being used properly. We also saw the injuries. We also saw you trying to play through injuries. And then we also saw the most conservative medical team staff in the league tell you you were okay to play and you sat out another game anyway.
Right.
I mean, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look. And, you know, for me, I think it was when we played the Cowboys in the wild card round. He came like, I was like a delayed blitz or something, but he was coming after Dak. And my goodness, he looked like he was running in cement. Like, I don't know how he didn't get a sack, a strip sack, a fumble, anything. It just, I was like, man, that looked different. That doesn't look like Devondre Campbell at all.
Right. He's had a lot of injuries. Listen, I wish Devondre Campbell well. I really like his play and his mentality. And yes, Joe Barry was an idiot. We know. Yeah. This is why he was fired. This is why he's gone. Yeah, I mean, and we understand that it didn't work out the way that you wanted because you're on another team. If it worked out the way you wanted, you would have been on this team. You would have had the biggest count. We would have won 3 Super Bowls in a row. It didn't work out that way. We're moving along. And it seems like we're moving in this trend of youth, youth, youth. And I kind of like it. I kind of like it myself. Now,
it's different.
We're missing a Mike linebacker now. We've got a huge hole to hit and fill, especially with all of the injuries that we had last year at interior linebacker. You know, Campbell was out, Quay was out a couple of games, then Duffy. I mean, it was just lining up. Where are we going to get this Mike linebacker?
I mean, right now it seems like it's going to come in the draft. Unless they're kind of just looking for a depth piece and free agency. I don't see a starter out there. I think they've all signed. I was hopeful Jerome Baker might show up in Green Bay. I mean, he did sign a pretty cheap deal from what I saw. But, I mean, maybe Goody doesn't like him. Maybe Jeff Hafley doesn't think he fits the scheme. I don't know. But at this point, it's got to be the draft.
You know, the way that they went out and got Josh Jacobs, the way that they got Xavier McKinney, I have to agree with you. It seems like they've got somebody lined up in the draft and that they're like, this is our guy. We're going to trade up for him. We're going to trade back for him. I don't know who that guy is, where they're going to find that guy. Quite honestly, I think all the interior linebackers that are in the draft, we can get them in the second round, as many as we want. I don't see them being in the first round. Do you think there's a linebacker out there that maybe another team would be willing to trade?
I was actually just going to bring that up because I tweeted yesterday. I don't see Goody using all 11 picks for the draft.
Yeah.
I see him trading some of those picks to get players. I haven't gone in and looked at a player that I would like to see on the Packers. I'd have to go do some more research on that. I've been mainly focusing on the draft prospects. But yeah, that's an interesting question. Actually, I haven't thought about that, but I'm going to go look.
Yeah. The problem is that there's so few good Mike linebackers that are out there right now. Most of them have got themselves these great big deals because teams are not going to get rid of them. They signed them to these monster deals. I mean, we're not going to go get Fred Warner. He's not available, right? We're not going to get a lot of these guys. So my first thought is who would be willing to get rid of their Mike linebacker and what would they want for it? You know, if it was somebody good, we'd be looking at that first round and possibly a first and a second, or maybe 2 seconds, or, you know, something way overpaying.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I mean, you said it yourself that there's not a lot of people that are available because there's just not that many good ones. And the guys that have good Mike linebackers are not willing to just trade them away. So, yeah, if we're looking at trading, it's probably going to take a second, one of our seconds. Maybe the Jets pick a 41 that we have. Maybe a second and a third because we have 2 seconds, 2/3. It could get pretty steep when Goody might just say, you know what, we'll take Adrian Cooper or Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State. We'll use a draft pick instead of trading two for somebody else. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
I've been saying all along, I don't think we're picking at 25. I think 25 is like kissing your sister. You can get those guys in the second round. That's an early second round pick. Do we trade up? Quite the possibility. I don't know how that equates if we took our first round and then we took that Jets pick at 41, where that would place us, probably somewhere around 15, maybe 14. You know, something like that. And then you got to find a team that wants to trade. And then, and then what are you picking right there? You're not going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. He's long gone by then. You're not going to get, any of these quality offensive weapons because they're long gone by 10. 25 is that strange, and it's champagne problems, right? Us Packer fans always have this champagne problem. It's like we finish so well, we don't get to pick early, right?
Yeah.
But I think maybe Goot says, I'm trading 25. I'll take a second, a third, and a fourth, or a second and a fourth and a fifth. Or I don't ask me what the math is, because I'll say one thing and they'll take something completely different.
Exactly.
I did not think whatsoever Josh Jacobs was in our field of play at all.
Absolutely not. Nope.
And for us to grab Jacobs, I mean, that was for about 10 minutes, we had the best backfield in the NFL.
It was sweet. It was sweet, man. I was so excited. I was like, dude, every run play, you're going to have either Aaron Jones or Josh Jacobs on the field. Are you kidding me? And then, yeah, that was a pipe dream.
Can you imagine they put him in the wishbone? So you've got Jacobs on one side and Jones on the other. I mean, those linebackers would just be like, this is hell. This is pure hell. Right.
It was so much fun to dream about 10 minutes.
Yeah. AJ Dillon coming back. That's a great thing. I love me some AJ Dillon. If he can get healthy and maybe a little bit more focused. And I think that's why he signed that deal and why the Packers were willing to sign such a cheap deal. Cause they were like, listen, if you can get back to being focused, that 2001, 2000 or 2021, 2022, mm-hmm. AJ Dillon, that was thumping guys, running guys over, hitting the hole at full speed. Again, as I've said on the podcast, I think he was misused a little bit. It seems to be the same trend on the offense and defense.
Yeah.
A little bit of misuse. Yeah. But yeah, Dillon needs himself a fullback, and Dillon needs to be handed off from underneath center in the I formation, or a broken eye, strong eye, weak eye. And that's where he excels, handing him the ball from shotgun and making him make two guys miss in the backfield is just, it just does not work for him. In the draft, now that we've got McKinney, right, we've kind of sealed up our free safety center fielder. We replaced Nick Collins, it looks like, for right now.
Right.
What do you think the major and I know J.J. Leahy is going to be like, the Packers don't draft for need. Listen, we have a few spots that need to be filled, period. One of them, Mike linebacker. Another one, we need another safety, right? We're going to need another corner. And we need some offensive line help, especially with, Runyon gone and a handful of these guys gone. What do you think the top three picks are? What do you think our first three picks are?
I'm just going to operate off the assumption right now we stick at 25, 41, 58. So 25, if Cooper DeJean's there, that's my go-to guy. Play safety, can play corner, very versatile guy. If he's there at 25, I'm running that card up all day. So I'll say corner. And then it depends how the draft board falls. I would say O-line help as well. If Cooper DeJean's gone, Graham Barton out of Duke. Would love for him to come in and take that right guard spot. Had high hopes for Sean Ryan when he first got drafted. He just kind of hasn't lived up to that billing. Yeah. So I'd say corner and lineman, I say, are kind of 1A, 1B at the first round. Once we get into round two, I think we can have a little bit of flexibility. I think safety is very important. We do got McKinney now, but there is still another hole back there. We lost Owens, who played okay last year, but, now he's a Bear. So safety at 41, and then linebacker again, kind of 1A, 1B, depending on who's on the board. With Tyler Newbin, if he's there, that'd be fantastic. Edgerrin Cooper, if he's there, that'd be great too. And then say that number 58 pick, I'm going to go a little bit of a homer pick on this one. I'm also a Texas Longhorns fan. I would love to see Jonathan Brooks. To see Jonathan Brooks come in and A.J. Dillon's only on a one-year extension or one-year deal, whatever it was he signed. I would love to see Brooks come in. And it's coming off ACL tear, so use this year to kind of get back right. And then, 2025, get the ball rolling. That's where I'm at right now. Corner, lineman in the first round, safety, linebacker, running back in the second round.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I do think that we need a center. I think that, when your GM comes out and says Myers is playing the best football of his career and he looks like shite. I mean,
yeah, it's tough. It's tough to defend him. Yeah.
Yeah, so you've seen his ceiling, got it. Let's move on. Maybe we use a second or a third, you know, to get ourselves a good quality. I have complete faith in this organization. I have complete faith in Gut. At the beginning, I was a little waffly about Gut. Is he doing it right? Is this the guys? Are these the... In the last few years, you can really see, especially with last year's draft, every single one of those players were contributing.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of course, the injured ones. But Gut seems to have a plan. And this plan is to make this team young, it's to make this team fast, and it's to make this team aggressive. And we and you could see that by him grabbing Quay Walker and Devondre Wyatt, right? These guys are aggressive. They go after the ball. Keeping Kenny Clark, aggressive. Jair Alexander, aggressive. And he also seems to keep the team disciplined. And what I mean by that is Rasul Douglas talked out about Barry, was very vocal about Barry, traded away for a third round pick to Buffalo. Devondre Campbell, I mean, we can see why, you know, he's gone. He's exploding all over Twitter about how it was everybody but his own fault. I agree with Devondre. At the same time, like we talked about earlier, it's time to go. Thank you very much. Jair deciding he's not going to listen to the coaches. I'm going to be captain. Now, first off, I agree with Jair. He's finally playing back in Carolina where he's from. Jair is one of our captains. He's one of our leaders in the team, and they don't put him out there for the coin toss. Terrible. Terrible on the Packers, right? But he shouldn't have gone out there. He, you know, that could have been something they could have dealt with a little bit differently. But then, of course, Gut comes in and he's like, Jair suspended one game. That's what happens. And Jair falls in suit, right? And I can think of $26 million. It's 26 million reasons why he should, you know, fall back into line.
Me too.
I mean,
me too.
And, you know, and some fans will sit there and say, well, you can't just treat players like puppets. And it's like, let me tell you something, brother. For $26 million, I will let you treat me like a puppet. You could treat me like a puppet all day, every day, for the 6-7 years that I will be in this career making $25 million a year. And when I'm gone and I'm sitting at home with $100 or $200 million, then I'll speak out about how you treated me like a puppet. You know,
absolutely. I mean, I've been in active duty Navy for 12 years and I've, you know, I'm all about the kind of fall in line type thing and do what you need to do. And I don't make 26 million.
Yeah. I do that for my business and I am nowhere near 26 million. If I did 26 million in 1 year, I would retire the next year.
Done. I'm telling you.
And I'm out like a blackjack dealer. That's it for me. Rogers running for vice president. What the hell is wrong with this guy?
It's nice to see it's someone else's headline now and not the Packers headline, because my goodness, I mean, so much fun to watch, such a good quarterback, but my Lord, man, keep your mouth shut just a couple times.
Right? He's got something happened with, you know, and it seems to happen to quarterbacks. I mean, Brett Favre, right? Goes to New York and decides I'm going to start sending dick pics to everybody and I'm going to start, you know, acting inappropriate and then I'm going to steal a whole bunch of welfare money. Like something happens with these quarterbacks. They get to about 14, 15 years and something, you know, changes in their chemistry. Yeah. And suddenly you've got Rodgers going, maybe I don't play football. Maybe I run for vice president. What kind of shit storm? Like, would the NFL have to make the Packers give back what they traded?
Just like, hey, we think you kind of fleeced the Jets.
Right?
Give him pick 41 back, you know.
we did not know this guy was fucking Looney Tunes.
No. Well, I mean, a little bit, you know, with COVID toe and being immunized and all that. That was a whole shit show in itself. But it just seems to be something new every – and it's not even once a year now. It's multiple times.
It's once a month. It's once a month. Yeah. It's like he hasn't been on TV. He's like flipping channels. He's like, fuck, you know, I got 300 channels. I'm not on one of these. Set me up an interview. I'm going to say something stupid. Right? Like the guy's out there fighting against vaccines and he's taking money from Johnson & Johnson. I mean, You can't write this shit.
Make it make sense.
Yeah. You can't write this stuff.
The best podcast in the world.
It's the greatest podcast in English.
The cream of the crop.
They're really, really good.
Better than the best.
The best of the best.
Better than the best.
Putting on a good show.
The best hacker podcast on the net.
The finest podcast in all the land.
The cream of the crop.
Guys, tune in. Great show.
Better than the best.
On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. Nobody does it better.
I'm JJ Leahy, and you're listening to the best of the best. It's Packers Without Borders.
It's time for Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
Out of all the dinosaurs, the pterodactyl was the most stealthy. You could never hear it go to the bathroom because the pee is silent.
This has been Matt's Motivational Meaningful Moment.
Wichita, Kansas.
From the UK.
From Los Angeles.
From Northern Wisconsin.
From Nova Scotia.
From the Derby City, Louisville, Kentucky.
From Central Illinois.
From Southern Cali.
From Turkey.
Omaha, Nebraska.
From California.
From Melbourne, Australia.
From Chicago, Illinois.
They're from the UK. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
And Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
So you were active duty for 12 years?
I still am. I hit my 12-year point last November, so I'm 12 and a half-ish now, yeah.
What do you do?
Right now, so I recently changed careers within the Navy. I'm a career counselor, kind of on the recruiting side of the house. So I'm out there, you know, helping the youth out and, you know, people that might want to join the Navy and kind of have a career and you know, take advantage of all the benefits and stuff the Navy has to offer. So I'm out there doing that right now. I used to be a culinary specialist on board submarines. So I was a submariner for about 7 years as well.
Cool, man. So you were like leagues under the sea and.
Oh yeah.
And did you, you know, I had a buddy of mine. He might still be on the city, SWAT team. But he was in the Canadian Navy, so one of the two boats we have. And listen, when you've got the U.S. living below you and they've got the biggest military in the world, we don't have to focus.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, that's fair.
You know, we don't have to, right? Yeah. I mean, we get it. You've won. You've got all the ships and planes. We're okay.
Yeah, we'll just kind of hang out up here.
He left high school and he was like, I'm joining the Navy. And he went to the Navy and he made water. Have you heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the bottom of this ship. And I mean, I don't know. The ship is, you know, 5-6 stories under the water or something. Like, it's a ridiculous, you know, distance under the water. And he's like, oh, yeah, been to Spain, never got on deck. Been to, you know, Greece, never got on deck. It's like, been through all the way. He's like, I've traveled the world 2 times over. He goes, I don't think I've ever been on deck. He was like, I was always in the bottom of the boat making water. That's where you take on seawater and you desalinize it, right? You take the salt out of it so that people could drink or shower or whatever, that sort of thing. What was also interesting was at his house, I noticed it on his shower head. He had like this chain on his shower head. And I said, what the hell's this? You know, after using his bathroom. And he goes, oh, you turn the water off quickly. I said, why do you turn the water off when you're in the shower? He's like, I'm so used to being in the Navy. He goes, you only had like 2 minutes to shower. So you get in, you get wet, turn it off, soap up, turn it on, rinse off. Right. Yeah. I'm like, what are your water bills like? We're in Canada now, man. I'm like, we're not out at sea. Yeah. Like, crank it on. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to give the guy shit all the time when we were out to sea. If they were, we called him a Hollywood shower. You know, hey, man, you've been there for like 5 minutes. You done?
Yeah.
Wasting water, man.
I know. And my kids, it's like minimum 10 minutes, right? They're like minimum. Yeah. I need 4 minutes of soak time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just need to stand there and think about my life for a few minutes.
Yeah. And I used to be like that. I found that as I'm getting older, I need less and less time. I get in, I get out as quickly as possible. Yep. And usually I've got a Bluetooth speaker in the bathroom. So I kick on the speaker for the music and I'm usually in and out in one song, you know, so 3-4 minutes I'm gone, that sort of thing. So you're down there in submarines cooking. What's the most common thing that you would make on a submarine?
I'd say the most common thing. I mean, we do have our days, right? So Saturday is always burger day. So always making burgers, pizza, wings on a Saturday. Sunday, we eat pretty good. It's always surf and turf, you know, so it's prime rib, it's lobster tails, it's crab legs, you know, whatever we got
going on. Wow. This is not your grandfather's Navy.
No, it's submarine. Submarine's got the best food in the Navy, man. We got the best food. Tuesdays is Taco Tuesday. Everybody loves Taco Tuesday. So I'd say those are our staples, you know, the set days for certain meals. So we're very very kind of regimented on board a sub.
Yeah.
And the meals are that way too. So yeah, for sure.
My both of my grandfathers were in the U.S. Navy. One of my grandfathers was on the USS Yorkton in the South Pacific. He was there when it was nearly sunk twice. And my other grandfather actually was a Navy test pilot.
Oh, so, nice. Okay.
Yeah, during World War II, he never saw any action, but he definitely saw all of the Rocky Mountains in various different types of planes. You know, he used to say, well, they would strap a rocket to something and tell me to land it.
Fair enough, figure it out.
Yeah, right. He's like, half of this stuff doesn't work. He's like, try not to die.
There you go.
So what was the name of the submarine that you were on?
I was on a couple. I was on the USS Chicago.
Okay.
That recently just got decommissioned.
Another thing from Chicago being thrown away. Huh?
Right. Yeah. It pained me to see that we had in our dining area, we had all the sports teams on one of the doors.
Yeah.
And I would just kind of cover up that Bears logo, you know, so I'm not going to, I don't want to look at that. But yeah, I was on that one for 4 years. And then oddly enough, I was on the USS Illinois, was my other sub.
Oh.
So I went from the Chicago to the Illinois. Ended up not being on that one for too long. Ended up getting injured. And that's why I'm a Navy counselor now. I got some medical things going on with my knee. And my knee just doesn't work well anymore. So that's that. But yeah, I was on the Chicago and the Illinois, my two boats.
Is it, and I know this is going to sound like a silly question, but when you watch movies like The Hunt for Red October and Das Boot and that, is it just like that in those movies? Is it just like that in a submarine?
For sure. Certain aspects. A lot of those movies do a really good job of, you know, showing how submarines actually are and how they operate. I will say the one that doesn't, and it's not really meant to. Have you seen Hunter Killer with Gerard Butler?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah, Gerard Butler is my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that one's a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah.
I don't see that type of stuff going on too often, but a lot of them are really good. They do a good job at depicting submarine life.
Cool. Cool. I'm always watching that, and I'm always thinking to myself, I wonder if it's really like this. I wonder if it really, you know, if the hull and the, you know what I mean, they take command of, you know, the command room. I can't even think of the terms right now, so I'm sounding like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like, you know, where the guy, the captain's got the chair and he sits down and it's like that, you know, you're always like, oh, I wonder if it really looks like that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty accurate. I mean, they're a little bit bigger in the movies just because they need to, you know, space for all the people, space for the cameras,
sure.
I assume. But yeah, they're a little bit bigger, but yeah, they look like that. They're operated just the same. It's pretty cool.
And does the sub make those water, you know, like the water pressure sounds, the pings and the tings and the dings?
Not that I ever heard, to be honest. being in the kitchen. I didn't get too much access to that. but yeah, I when I was up there, you know, in the control room, I didn't hear too many of the pings and dings. It's slightly different.
Because that's the one thing that I couldn't take would be that, oh, well, yeah, you know, we're 500 feet below the water. I'm like, so bring me up. I'm done. I can't. That's not okay. And, you know, the sheer size of these things is what really blows me away. I was in Maryland, D.C., and we went out to, it was a naval base. I can't even remember the name of it right now, but they had it wasn't an aircraft carrier. It was like a cruiser or something. And they had it like up on the, not out of the water, but they had it up on, like there was a huge dock and you could walk, you know, and they did like tours and stuff. And me standing there thinking that this was a building, right? Mm-hmm. And the tour guide's going, and I'm like, so when are we going to see the boats? And he's like, well, this one right here. And I'm like, what? And you look up and it's like six stories before you get to the top of this thing. You're like, this goes in the water? You know, this,
they're massive.
These skyscrapers go in these float.
Yeah. Crazy. That's crazy. Even like our aircraft carriers, they're nicknamed floating cities. They're insane. They're huge. Even the submarines, if you see a submarine out of the water on blocks, they're massive. They're really big.
What would you say the size of that submarine that you were on, the Chicago? What would you like, length and height? Guess. For length, our Soviet listeners.
Yeah. Length, like, I'm not too sure about, but I know once we go in there, we have three stories and then like a collection area as well. So I guess you can call it four.
Okay.
About four. I mean, that stuff was also built in the 80s. They're a lot different now.
Yeah,
she was around since 86 and just got decommissioned last year. So she was she did her time.
So about four stories. And what do you think the length? Maybe 200-300 yards?
That sounds about right. Maybe not. I'd say 200. Yeah, maybe not 300, but maybe two.
Right. Like these things are they're football stadiums.
Yeah.
And they're big. We're going to sneak this right close.
Right. Yeah. When you think about the idea of them, you're like, how does that even work? But it does.
Right. It just blows my mind. What really kind of blows my mind is thinking back to, you know, like World War II, and you hear like the British had 1,200 ships, and you think to mm-hmm. yourself, nobody has 1,200 ships anymore. You know,
right.
Japan released, you know, 400 ships. It's like Japan doesn't have 400 ships anymore. You know, I don't even think the U.S. has a total of, well, maybe when you throw in all the small little ones and stuff. But I mean, like an active warship, I don't think they're close to 400 now. Right. I think Canada is probably closer to 24 in total.
OK.
And we've got a lot of the smaller, they're nicknamed like mosquitoes, right? Where they just come in and they're smaller boats and they kind of, you know, run air defense or don't ask me. I'm not that guy.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. I'm honestly not privy on the number, you know, the U.S. has got either. But the days of thousands of ships being a part of a fleet are kind of over. They're not made by wood anymore. We're so sophisticated and you know, the technology we have now is just we don't need that many. Plus, you know, if you have that many, you got to find people to operate them.
Yeah,
and that's a whole other thing in itself.
Like how many staff members would you say is on a submarine? Again, for all of our Soviet listeners.
Yeah, I mean it's north of 100.
Wow.
Yeah, north of 100, and then it can fluctuate. You know, guys come in, guys go out. So, but yeah, I'd say, you know, it's north of about 100 people typically.
I heard that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, of course, but I heard that it was like 1,000 people for an aircraft carrier.
Oh, it's more than that. It's way more than that. It's
really.
It's, I'd say at least 5.
Wow. 5, yeah, that's the size of my town that I live in.
Yeah. That's why they call them floating cities, man. They're massive. And then if you include like the strike group, all the other ships that are in there, it's about 7,000 people.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So have you ever seen those pictures? It's like the aircraft carrier and there's like boats on each side. So that, you know, that whole company of ships is about 7,000 people.
Well, a lot of those ships they're there to protect the aircraft carrier.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you bring in one aircraft carrier into like a conflict zone and suddenly it's not a conflict zone anymore. Everything's calmed down. Everyone wants to negotiate.
Yes. You know, with all the, you know, there's dozens of planes on there on the aircraft carrier that can do their thing. You know, you got all the destroyers in the strike group, the cruisers. They've got a lot of firepower, and that's why nobody messes with us.
That's exactly it. You know, and we, I've said this before with other guests, and I've said this on the podcast, you know, Americans and Canadians, when we hear the Americans kind of make fun of the Canadians, we always just kind of chuckle and think to ourselves, we don't think we're very different from you guys. You guys just happen to live where maybe it's a little warmer than us, but ultimately we all want the same thing. We want a safe place to live. We want to be able to provide for our family and we want to be left the fuck alone. Right.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. So you've got this Mac on the Pack podcast. What are you going to be talking about?
We could talk about a lot, right? This first episode I got coming up next week's going to focus on the off season so far. It's been a crazy one, so there's a lot of stuff to cover.
So I'm
mainly going to go that route, and then as we lead up to the draft, I'll kind of hone in there. And you know, you hear rumblings of who the Packers might be interested in, kind of touch base on that. But the first few episodes are just going to be off-season recap, and then, you know, we'll roll into draft season and then kind of take it from there.
Sweet. So tell everybody, Mark, about yourself. So you were in the Navy. Are you a married guy?
Yep, married. Been married for, where are we at now? 2024. It'll be 12 years this year.
12 years. That's hat tip to you. Marriage is it's a sentence.
It is. I met my wife before I joined the Navy, so she's been along for the entire ride. She's awesome. She's a trooper. Couldn't do it without her. So married, got a wife, daughter Rachel. She's 3.
Nice.
Been in Portland now for about 8 months. I moved here from Hawaii, you know, bounced around in the Navy.
Oh,
so.
Terrible life in Hawaii.
Terrible. I've lived in Guam. Lived in Guam for 4 years. That was awesome. Hawaii. So I've been on the island for, you know, a good 7 years of my Navy career. Born and raised in England. So I'm a naturalized citizen. I didn't become a citizen until I joined the Navy. So born in England, I moved to California when I was 15, and then that's where I discovered football and fell in love with it. So I had no idea what football was when I first came here, and then I was mad. I missed out on 15 years of fun found it, and I haven't stopped watching it. So yeah, it's kind of me in a nutshell. Nothing too exciting, you know.
It's me in a nutshell. I see you're wearing a Liverpool kit.
Yeah.
So you a football
nice,
fan?
You said kit. There you go.
I'm learning the lingo still trying to figure it out. And like I've said, I don't understand offside. They've explained the rule to me, and I see it happen all the time. I'm like, isn't that offside? I thought that was offside. And then there's times where the ref goes, that's offside. And you're like, that clearly didn't look like offside to me. It's almost like watching hockey.
Yeah, hockey offsides. I mean, I feel like hockey offsides is a little bit easier to understand. I mean, is he inside the blue line or is he not?
Yeah. We had to paint those lines and make them good and thick. So that was like, listen. Right.
I grew up about 30 minutes from Liverpool's stadium, Anfield. So, I mean, I was born into it. As soon as I could walk, I had a Liverpool kit on. You know, it's a family thing. So it's something I keep really close to me. We're actually going to go back to England this year for a trip. And one of the things we're going to do is take a trip to Anfield, even if we don't go to a game. it's just kind of a sentimental place, you know?
Yeah,
so it's fun to go to and see it. And yeah, I can't wait to go back and see them and see that stadium again. So yeah, it's gonna be fun.
My family's from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Okay. We had more family that lived in Stevens Point, just outside of Green Bay. So whenever we travel through there, there's a few spots that I insist on. We have to stop here. We have to eat here. We have to, you know, take that stroll down memory lane, you know, and try and remember what it was like when you were a kid and life, you know, life was so much simpler back then.
Exactly. I mean, I'm from a very small town in England too. It's a village. And every time I take my wife there, I take her to the same fish and chip shop that I went to when I was a kid. They're all those must hit places that, you know, the food's really not why you go, you know. It's more of the past and, you know, the meeting. It's just, I mean, the food's, you know, part of it, but it's got to be good. But, no, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be my first time for my daughter meeting her English family as well. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. Good. I'm excited. I'm excited for Mac on the Pack podcast here coming up. I'm sure you'll be able to catch it on Spotify, iTunes, Apple.
Yep, wherever you can find podcasts.
Wherever you can find podcasts, just like you could find mine. One last thing before I let you go here, Mark. Any wild predictions before the start of the season with the Packers?
Wild predictions. Let's see.
I'll give you an example. Back on February 15th, we recorded an episode and I talked with my guests about playing devil's advocate. And I talked about the release and or trade of Aaron Jones because he had finished so well with 5 games in a row. I said, you know, if we're ever going to get something for this guy, now would be the time. If you think back to, we lost guys like Aaron Kampman. We constantly release these guys and never get a trade. I mean, even if we got a sixth rounder, anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you think Goody's maybe got a trick up his sleeve somewhere? Or maybe Peyton Manning comes out of retirement?
You know what? I think I'm gonna go draft related, and I'm gonna say he packages this little bowl. I'm gonna say he packages 25 and 41, and tries to get into the top 15 picks, maybe 10.
Yeah.
And I if he does that, I think he's gonna try to get a Joe Alt, an Olufashinu from Penn State. I like Rashid Walker, but I don't know if he's the long-term solution at left tackle. I'll go with that. I'll say he moves up in the draft and tries to get one of those top two tackles.
Sounds good to me. I like that idea. Grab one of those top two tackles and maybe we can shore up that offensive line, maybe move Walker to a guard or something.
I see Walker maybe filling Josh Nyman's spot as the swing tackle, because we don't, you know, Nyman's probably not coming back, so
Nyman was caught dating Matt LaFleur's daughter or something. Like, there is some, you know, he's got some thing that he did that pissed off one of the coaches, and he's not getting, you know, it's confusing. It's like Nixon. Nixon for $19 million. He clearly has pictures of Goot on a donkey or something. There is some, he's got some blackmail.
Oh man.
What does Keyshawn
have?
That's just a rumor I started. That's
all right. I like it.
Listen, Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure. Make sure that you get up there and you listen to Mac on the Pack podcast coming to you right away. And I'll leave you by saying peace and go Pack go.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free. but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies. The end of nights we try to die. This is the
to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be, that it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch. Mm-hmm. Must be the season of the witch, must be the season of the witch, yeah, must be the season of the witch. Looking over his shoulder at me, and he's strange, sure is strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch, yeah. Beatniks out to make it rich. Oh no, must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch, yeah. Must be the season of the witch. Stitch.
to pick up